is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, Hidden Prophecies in the Book of Esther. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is the Cathedrals with Plan of Salvation, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
So sad was the scene there. The birds hushed their singing. Like a lamb he was humbled to his Father's own will.
For the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand.
Salvation
for the plan.
just to say, Lord, I love you.
Just to say, Lord, I love you. For you understand.
To delve into a topic so incredibly important, I'm telling you, it dwarfs most of the subjects that we discuss on this program, and that's saying a lot. Now, throughout the 66 books of the Bible, you will find over and over again the prophecies of Jesus coming, of Jesus' return. Of course, the book of Revelation itself is an incredible book of mind-boggling scope. But few people realize that throughout the Bible there are other passages of Scripture equally as vital as the book of Revelation. One such book is the little book of Esther, the book of Esther. Now, if you ask the average pastor or evangelist or just the lay person in the evangelical Christian community, what about Esther? He or she will tell you, well, it's a book about a real wonderful woman of God, a Jew named Esther, who, along with her cousin Mordecai, saved the Jews from destruction by their enemies and turned things around and, with God's help, got revenge. Yes, it's a story of the heroine, the woman Esther, the queen of Persia, who was a Jew, and her cousin. Oh, what a wonderful story, how they turned the tables on their wicked enemies. But friends, is that what Esther is all about? Now, I've gone back and I've studied the book of Esther very carefully because God laid it on my heart to know the truth of prophecy. And one of the things Esther is not about is somebody who is heroic. Although there is one heroine, her name is not Esther. We'll find out about her in just a moment. Now, the reason this is so important is because you and I live in the United States of America today, the nation that is represented in the book of Esther. And there's another nation represented in the book of Esther. I am convinced, I am persuaded that this book of the Bible is absolutely divine, as is every other book in the Bible, and it is a book of prophecy, not just history, but prophecy. It reveals your destiny and mine, what's going to happen to America in the coming years, what will happen in the Middle East, what will happen around the world. It is a tale of great bloodshed, death, torment. And yet I want you to understand, friends, that the events that you will discover in the book of Esther lead directly to those in the book of Revelation. Now, not everything in the book of Revelation or Esther is good. But the Lord says in His Scripture that everything will work out to our good. And there's a big difference. Some people don't want to study the bad in the Bible. But friends, without understanding the bad, you will not understand the good. Without understanding there is a devil, you will not know of the holiness and righteousness that is the exact opposite, which is our Lord and Savior God. Now, many are confused about the book of Esther, and that is because almost no one understands this book. You will be one of the very few, and I expect you, dear friends, to be an evangelist on this issue, to tell others. They will look at you like you're crazy, because all of the great commentaries and all of the Bible teachers and all of the well-known famous names on television have absolutely nada, zilch, not one iota of understanding about this book. But one thing I know for sure is that God said his people would know and understand the events of the last days. And I know that many of you listening to my voice are the very elect of God. The few that are truly zealous and want to know the truth of God's word, especially his prophetic word. And God respects that and will honor that. He says in Daniel 12, verse 10, the wise shall understand. That means the wise not in their own conceit or their own arrogance, but wise because they are willing. You are willing to know the things of God. And we're going to discuss that today. And you will be one of the very few. But then again, Jesus said, the things of the last days will be so deceptive that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Thank God it's not possible. And yet, my dear friends, you will have to go through all of the commentaries and all the books, and you will have to fight especially all the women in your church who say, oh, Esther, I want to be just like her. What a wonderful woman of God. But was Esther a great woman of God? And certainly if you tell them that Esther is a book of prophecy, their eyes will glass over and they will think that you've gone mad. But so what? Most people today in the church don't even believe in the book of Revelation. Most don't even believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Now, there are some in past history of the Christian church who did not believe that Esther was even part of the Word of God. Many of the early Christians cut it right out of the Bible. They say, this is not of God. It cannot be, for it appears to be a wicked book extolling or honoring the Jews. How could this be God's Word? Said many of the early Christians. Martin Luther, who really was the inspiration of the Protestant Reformation, said that surely there is a mistake. Esther cannot be part of the canon of the Bible. It simply cannot be part of the Bible. He was amazed that somehow it had found its way into the Holy Bible. But let me tell you something, friends. This is what we stand for now. I want you to get this clearly in mind. We cannot take out one word from this Holy Bible. I believe strongly in the King James Version of the Bible. It is God's Word, and every bit of it is inspired and without error. Many people write and want to argue with me about whether the Bible is fully inerrant. They all have their little parts of the Bible they don't like, they don't agree with. I say, to hell with such ideas. And I don't say that in a nice way. I say that in a very direct way. The Bible itself in the book of Revelation says, if anybody shall add to or take from God's word, especially that book of prophecy there in Revelation, God will take his name out of the book of life. It is a dangerous thing to attempt to take away from the Word of God. Friends, don't even consider it for a moment. It is a hellish idea. And I don't care if it's Martin Luther or St. Augustine or whoever. We must believe in the Word of God. Recently, I heard someone on the radio say that Tex Mars believes that the book of Esther should not be in the Bible. The man didn't know what he was talking about. There's one thing, my friends, you can always trust in this ministry. Never, never, never will you ever hear Tex Mars saying that there is a mistake in God's Word, or that there is a scripture that should not be there. Or in the King James Bible, there's a mistranslation, or there would be a better word for it. I don't mind at all people getting a Webster's Dictionary and looking up some of the more arcane or ancient words. I don't mind that at all. And if you don't want to use the word thee or thy or thou, just make sure that you're using the right word. But don't say they shouldn't be in the Bible. They don't have meaning. They do. They were translated correctly by the King James translators. They are correct. They are true. It would be better for you to learn the correct language of the King James Bible before you make the super mistake of thinking you've got better words than God has. Now, that being said, let's look at the book of Esther. And I'm going to run it by you a little bit first. I need you to tell you the whole story. Then we're going to get in and look at the little nitpicky details. And I want you to understand something. I believe we're talking about President George Bush here. I believe we're talking about his advisors. I believe we're talking about the things that are going on in the White House in Washington, D.C. I believe in studying the book of Esther, we're studying the influences of America, which is the imperial power, the only remaining superpower in the world today. And you have to understand that the book of Esther tells the story of five main characters, and we'll get to those five. But one of them is a king, just like George W. Bush is a king. And this king sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in a city named Shushan, which is just like Washington, D.C., the seat of government of the United States of America. There sat the palace at Shushan of King Ahasuerus. We have a palace known as the White House, where sits a king. We shall call him, perhaps, King George. Now, as it happens, we're told in the Bible, in the book of Esther, that this king rules over a mighty empire, having, in fact, 127 provinces. And it covered many nations from India to Ethiopia, historians say. Today, the American empire is across the breadth of the earth and has untold nations and provinces under its dominion. Now, let's look at the hidden prophecies in the book of Esther. Notice I said hidden prophecies. Hidden from the world. Hidden from the deceived. Hidden from all but the very elect of God, who Jesus said would not be deceived. And I believe that many listening to my voice are the very elect of God. I'm not trying to pat you on the back. I'm not trying to toot your horn or make you feel superior. It is a grave, vast responsibility to have the knowledge that God gives you of the last days, because you will be laughed at, scorned, criticized, and persecuted for this knowledge that you're going to learn about. Don't glory yourself, friends. Let me tell you something. Make sure you understand, this puts on your head and in your heart a grave responsibility to teach others and to do what's right, considering what things are going to be happening in the world to you, your loved ones, your family, to your nation, and to all the peoples of this earth. And their destiny could be in your hand. It might be the man or woman you tell about these things that will lead to the eventual victory of God's people. For we, dear friends, we are the overcomers through Jesus Christ and his blood. Now,
I want you to understand there is coming a great world catastrophe. A great world catastrophe. And the reason for this catastrophe, dear friends, is a woman. Now, I don't have anything against women. I married one. I have a mother who loves me. I love her. She's still alive. And she is just as precious as can be. Have nothing against women, believe me. I have a lot against men who don't like women. I think something's wrong with them. And of course, on the other side, women should like men, but be faithful to their man if they are married, of course. But the Bible says the trouble in the world, the last days, in addition to Satan, the inspirer, will come from a woman. Or at least, perhaps an empire represented by a woman. Did you know that God's people, Jesus' people, are presented in the Bible as a woman, as a bride? The bride of Christ. The woman. And yet there is another woman, equally as evil as the bride of Christ is good and righteous. We can read about her in Revelation 17, verses 3 through 6. We come face to face with the New Age goddess. Her name is Mystery Babylon. We could also call her Esther. Esther, the star goddess. Let's read about her here. It says in Revelation 17, John is speaking. The beloved John who walked with Jesus and then was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, where alone is an old man. They said he was probably in his late 90s when he received these prophecies. Folks out there that are listening to me that are in their 70s, their 80s, their 90s, or maybe more, you think your usefulness with God or his kingdom is over with? You are a fool. For John, they say, was in his late 90s when he received and wrote down. This is prophecy. And believe me, God entrusted to him some of the greatest secrets of the kingdom while he was in his 90s. So don't think at all that you're finished. Oh, no. You have a great responsibility. Your life is not over with until your last breath and you wake up in that gleaming golden city in which victory is assured. Now, it says here, John says about an angel. He said, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness meaning a very rough place, my friends, a tough place. The wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Oh, what a queen she was, wasn't she, dear friends? Look at this. Arrayed in purple, the color of the regal woman, the queen, and scarlet. She was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She was beautiful. She was voluptuous, gorgeous, sexy, I guess we would say now. Or as my grandkids would say, awesome, wondrous. In fact, even John said he marveled at the woman.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.